Radio Frontier.
It is entry number 31, and it's Wrestling Daft the Marks. Hailing from Larbert, weighing in at 185 pounds, I'm John. And with me, a man bigger than the time it took Paul Heyman to uncuff Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble. It's Big Alex.
It was absolutely shocking, wasn't it? Like, how is a man that's been around wrestling so long never taken off a pair of handcuffs? I mean, it tells you probably a little bit more than you need to know about how kinky his sex life is, but...
Well, not kinky at all, probably.
Exactly. Heyman's apparently a very vanilla man.
He just can't work a key. What the hell? And with him tagging alongside him, it's a man who this week has spoke to the legends that are the Bushwhackers. He's walking down with a funny walk onto the podcast. It's Gary Cassidy.
Aye, so a wee belt off of that one there. That I'll let you in on before.
Oh, here we go. I'm presuming we're going to get to hear this interview on the podcast.
Aye, it would definitely be available. But, so we've spoken before about our respective ages. And yep. I was 6 when the Bushwhackers left WWE. So I don't remember much of them apart from having the wee Hasbro figures, seeing the march. And then when they came back, you know, when they were in ECWs, the I can't remember their names, but they were the extended Dudley family and the gimmick Battle Royal. But I was asking them just all sorts of things about their gimmick. And they were just brilliant. But the last question I asked them was, who's the worst person you've licked? So they didn't give me a wrestling answer, which was annoying, so I was really hoping they would give me, you know, Bret Hart or something like that. I don't even think they were in any interaction with him. But they spoke to me about how they done Family Matters, you know, the show with Urkel in America.
I think I do. Yeah, I've seen a lot of, like, American TV shows and stuff.
So they done that, and apparently he went and licked a woman's face. It was a former gladiator, and essentially couldn't breathe because they had an allergic reaction to the makeup she was wearing. And they was choking on the makeup the full time. But then they said, oh, I gave her the best licking she's ever had. On her face, no down under, because obviously they're New Zealanders. I'm just like, oh, no. It's like, I'm glad this isn't for it in PG. So it was great. Just popped me the full time.
On that, who do you think would be the worst wrestler to lick?
It depends on how the different types of fake tan they use. I would imagine some would taste nicer than others, and then different types of baby oil as well. Maybe some have flavoured baby oil for that exact reason.
Probably, I'd say Boogeyman, just because his diet consists of worms. But I'm thinking, weirdly, the best, I think, might be Otis, because I think it would just taste like ham, because all we know about him is he consumes a lot of ham.
I don't know.
I'm not going to be able to see Otis as anything other than a ham from now on. Like, you know,
I don't think what you consume makes you taste like that, Gary. I'm no biologist here or a doctor.
Have you never heard the rumours about the pineapples, John?
There is a thing about pineapples, yes, but we won't go into that, Alex. You get your mind out the gutter.
Gary started it talking about the Bushwhackers and they're giving her the best lick out she's ever had. Licking, sorry, that was the term.
Licking, not licking. Oh, God almighty. Right, let's get our minds out the gutter and get into the Royal Rumble. Gary, you'd Mr. Patreon pay-per-view. Thanks, as ever, to everyone that joined in the Patreon pay-per-view party. Shout out to Pablo, as ever, regular, Robert and his wife. They're always good. They're always cracking into the whiskey when they're on. Who else is on? Bronze Chill, who'll be on the show later on to do the buddies and put overs. Thanks for everyone. Divers, Tom, the whole shebang. All on the Patreon pay-per-view. We watched that along on the Monday night. Gary, you sat up and watched it live. We asked you what you thought of it ahead of it, and you gave it an 8.5 out of 10. What was so good about this year's Royal Rumble?
I loved it. I thought, in terms of just pay-per-view start to finish, as opposed to, like, I think the Royal Rumble pay-per-views, normally you're just like, just want the two matches. Aye. Like, I don't really care about any other matches, but I thought, you know, obviously I loved the way the Drew match turned out, even though I don't like seeing Goldberg in the ring. It was probably the best use of him since before he returned in 2016.
Am I the only one who's still getting over the fact that he actually put someone over and then looked really fucking unhappy about it?
See, I actually thought, I wasn't sure, I couldn't tell how his reaction was, but I just loved the way they used them like that. I thought that was great. You know, having a title change on the pre-show as well, even though it wasn't a match that I really cared about that much, having a title change on the kickoff show is quite a big thing as well.
It was the Women's Tag Team Championships. Can we just put an asterisk next to
but
that?
But then they did work that into the show.
Yeah,
like it became part of the Female Royal Rumble, so...
But I just thought, I don't think any Royal Rumble match for me is going to compare, like, booking-wise and storyline-wise to last year. I think that's probably going to always be, you know, one of my favourites and definitely up there. But I thought this one was really good. Obviously, a lot of good surprises. Loved the women's match. Wasn't so big on the Wee R-Truth thing that happened, but don't really mind it. And I just thought everything was good about it. You know, the Roman Reigns-Kevin Owens match, it's like, it's between the two Rumbles. It'll be a pee break match. Was the opposite of a pee break match.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. Loved the full thing.
Yeah. We were talking about that on the Patreon pay-per-view party. Is no one's really a massive fan of The Last Man Standing. I'm not a particular big fan of it. I prefer a false count anyway.
Oh, you just mean like the gimmick overall?
Yeah.
As opposed to the actual specific.
I thought that was really, really good. Some great spots in it as well.
Owens and Reigns' chemistry is just off the charts now, really, isn't it? And it's going. They're starting to have a bit of a tradition now of actually having good championship matches during the Rumble card.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, like a good number of years in a row now, or at least more like 6 out of 5 or something like that. And they also, it's continued their run of just another good pay-per-view. Like, when was the last bad WWE pay-per-view? Like, last year? The beginning of the year, maybe?
Survivor Series wasn't great, was it?
They kind of...
Wasn't it terrible? It was terrible.
It wasn't the worst,
but I think also, without giving the game away too much, when we get to the buries and put overs, it done the impossible and made Raw exciting. So, yeah.
I think we were all legitimately surprised at the winner and how long a certain Mr. Copeland lasted in that match. Who knew Edge had it in him to last an hour and 10 minutes?
That was incredible that, you know, they stretched out, because you see him coming in at number one, you think, right, well, there's no way he's going to go on to win it. What was the biggest pop for you, Gary? I know exactly what it was, but I'll ask you anyway.
Annoyingly, actually, on the Edge note, I think that gave the game away, because they announced he was at number two, and then when he came out at number one, I was going, well, I know why he's at number one, because he's definitely going to win. But the biggest pop, I think, definitely Christian. I don't think there's any two ways about it, but the one that always gets me, and I actually really like Victoria coming back as well, but the one that always gets me is Hurricane. Anytime he's back, just as soon as I hear the music, I've just absolutely love seeing Hurricane in the ring.
John pointed out that he's wrestled in, or at least appeared on, AEW Impact and WWE in the same calendar year, and can't think of anyone else that's done that. So,
yep.
Good on him for milking that gimmick as far as well.
Possibly Zack Ryder, but I'm not sure when his last WWE appearance was, but possibly Zack Ryder. But Zack Ryder's a young, fit guy. Like, Hurricane is not. And he's still earning the money.
Who was the kind of standout guy in the Rumble for you guys?
I mean, it was actually a difficult one. I don't think there was any huge standouts. I thought they booked Priest really well and Riddle really well.
I was going to say Matt Riddle. I thought Matt Riddle looked like $1 million in that match.
Was there not a lot of talk that potentially he got some of Keith Lee's spots due to Keith's unforeseen or unfortunate situation with COVID?
So there's a very bizarre one on that where apparently, and I don't know where this came from because I'd just seen it literally like right before we came on, but somebody saying that his replacement was Otis. And I'm going, there's no way his replacement was Otis because Otis was already announced. The one that I would think was Ricochet because obviously he failed in his qualification match and then ended up in the match. But I don't know. It's hard to look past Edge as the standout just because he was there for the full thing. But I think the one that I came away from going, that's really excited me, was Damian Priest. I think that was one that I came away from going, I can't wait to see what this guy does next. But
also almost as well.
Almost was, he was amazing. But I think
and Reginald too. You've got to give Reginald his dues as well. He was fucking
I want to see more of Reginald in every capacity. The guy's absolutely brilliant. But I think for me, the one standout, across the full thing was Ripley. I think Rhea Ripley just looked brilliant in every way.
They booked her really well. And I thought, same with Bianca Belair as well. I mean, obviously, you know, great to see her to go on and win it as well. And let's just hope...
booking with Charlotte and the three of them as the last three, I think, was terrific. And that little like face-off they had with the three of them, that's obviously going to be where WWE is going to take Charlotte's storylines for the next kind of year. So I'm glad Ripley and Charlotte didn't get their rematch. So.
Let's just hope they don't fuck up the booking with Belair. You know, they've already kind of given it a good go with Ripley, so we'll see how it goes. But no, I thought really, really good Rumble. Like you say, Gary, as a pay-per-view itself, I thought it was pretty bloody good. I couldn't pick out...
Under 4 hours as well. Last year's Rumble was 6 hours. It's amazing what WWE... like. It just kind of goes to show that Raw's biggest problem is the fucking time frame, and everyone knows it. And they can produce good content if they just have a limited time span.
Also, one interesting note on it, that obviously one of them ended up on the kickoff, but it's, I think, the first ever WWE pay-per-view to have a 50-50 gender split in terms of the card.
Oh, really?
Three men's matches, three women's matches. I'm not sure about that fact. I think I've pulled that fact out there and can't think yet to combat it, so I've not actually researched it fully. But
for the sake of today, Gary, we'll say that's an interesting
fact. Well done, Gary. I like that fact. We'll definitely...
I'm sure if you're wrong, you will get called out on Twitter.
Of course you will. Good Rumble all around. Just further on to that, I'm assuming Edge is going to go after Reigns.
I think everybody was saying that it's going to be Edge and Drew and then Reigns and Bryan, but I think Bryan, I'm probably going to upset a lot of people here. I don't think he's got another title run in him. I think he's doing the putting over people before he becomes part-time type mode.
Yeah, if he was going to get it, he had to have won on Sunday, didn't he? And he would get one last Mania moment and that would have been it, but that's obviously not happening.
Literally, the only way I could have seen it not being Reigns and Edge would be if it was Goldberg and Reigns, but it doesn't look like that's going to be the way. And this way, they can get their spear versus spear, a better spear versus spear match than they were going to get. I know everybody loves Edge as a heel, but if we get crowds in the building, who's going to boo Edge? Absolutely nobody's going to boo Edge, so you might as well stick him with Reigns.
I think the match between Roman and Edge is also less of a sure thing who wins that. I think if Edge went up against Drew, I think we'd all be saying, yeah, Edge is going to win that belt, but against Roman?
I know that people might want to see Roman keep the belt, but I think they've built Roman that well as a heel that if Edge is to beat Roman, he will still get cheered by a live crowd, because Roman's that good a heel and Edge obviously never lost the belt and has this ridiculous redemption story. So I think I'm sure that's the only way to go, and I thought that I was in like the majority, but a few people were saying to me, no, definitely no, it's got to be Edge versus Drew, Roman v. Bryan. It doesn't make any sense.
You're right. It's absolutely the only way to go. They did have Sheamus
turn on Drew on Monday, so they've potentially already started Drew's potential WrestleMania story there.
Yeah, true. What about Belair?
I think definitely Sasha Banks, no two ways about it. I think, I wrote an article I can plug Inside the Ropes. Kenny was on a chat with Bianca Belair before, I can't remember what pay-per-view it was, but last year, and she said that her dream WrestleMania match would be against Sasha Banks. So she's breaking kayfabe if she doesn't issue Sasha.
did he turn Belair heel in the meantime? Because we know that's what she was in NXT.
I think you'd have to turn the Street Profits as well, because this is the thing now. They've started making these links between couples, and you can't have face one and heal the other.
Well, you can. Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch, look at that.
I think I'd actually rather... I mean, I don't really want them to turn Sasha heel again, but I much prefer Sasha's promos when she's a heel. I think she's great at working in the ring as a face, but I think you can either go face v face, or I would probably turn Sasha, because I think you get a really good feel-good moment if Bianca Belair wins or match at WrestleMania.
Or does the title get dropped on the way to WrestleMania Elimination?
They could do that, because, you know, Belair v. Bayley has been the storyline. That has been the full story that's there and ready to go if they have Bayley win the title at Elimination Chamber or Fastlane, I think is the...
Yeah, Fastlane.
Well, there's a lot of talk about I think we're all predicting Fastlane's actually going to be a big deal this year because it's the first show on Peacock.
Yeah.
So normally just gets swept under the rug.
That'll be Yeah, I forgot that's actually going to be on Peacock. I thought Mania was the first one, but Fastlane will probably have something big happening then.
Yeah, I
want to see a big Fastlane swerve this year, just A, for Peacock, and B, for the sake of fucking swerve.
I wonder if they do the switch at Elimination Chamber, however, and, you know, so they save away Bayley and Sasha, and they do the switch it, you know, where Sasha doesn't, you know, lose the title really through a straight match. And she loses it through shenanigans at Elimination Chamber.
I don't even think you need to leave it through shenanigans in Elimination Chamber. You can just have like a 3-on-1 situation and down she goes kind of thing, you know?
I wonder what that'll be interesting. Anyway, we'll see where that ends up. Great Rumble, though. Really enjoyed it. Next, thanks for everyone that came on to Patreon pay-per-view, as I said. We're going to do our next one. Is going to be WrestleMania. We might do Elimination Chamber, but definitely Saturday.
Sting's come back.
Oh, well. We'll wait and see. We'll see if we can get something on the go. But thanks for joining in on that. And I hope you guys enjoyed the Rumble as well. We'll be getting on to the TV shows. We've done it again. It's one of those weird weeks. We're going to go back and look at the TV shows from across the week. We're going to be reviewing Dynamite, NXT, SmackDown, and of course Raw, in the company of our guest Mark, the current guest Mark champion, Bronze Chill. He will be on doing SmackDown for us. Gary will have all the news a bit later on. We're back on Fantasy Booking Island this week as we book Conor McGregor in the WWE the first 6 months. Looking around, it looks like Gary's forgot to do his homework.
Forgot what it was, so I was hoping you'd mention it before we get to the end, so I can think about it during.
And Alex, you've had 2 weeks now to think of this, so it better be bloody good.
And Alex has also totally forgot about to do it all day. He's very tired from watching the Rumble last night. So,
right, okay, we'll wait and see where that ends up. That's a great sell for the show, guys. Well played.
And John, how prepared are you then?
I'm all prepared.
I can't wait for Akira Tozawa to be
Quarter past four in the morning. I've got a booking in my head. Don't you worry about that. But before all of that, let's cut a promo.
I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest.
Right, okay, give me the microphone. First of all, it needs to be noted as an aside promo. While doing the Patreon pay-per-view party and watching the Rumble with Alex, he ordered the pizza, Gary, and let me tell you about this pizza, okay?
An apple on it.
No. It did not have, but it did have, however, onion badgie and an egg.
Would you like me to? I can probably read you the full ingredients list.
Go for it. I think that's worthwhile.
give me 2 seconds. So,
it already sounds worse than pineapple on pizza, Amy. That is it.
This is Alex's pizza.
How do I get my old orders up on Deliveroo? God damn it.
I can imagine. We'll just pause it for a minute, Alex. I want to hear the M&S. I want you to do it in the style of the M&S food advert when you read out this fantastic creation.
Orders. Okay, here we go.
Here we go. An M&S style.
On this beautiful pizza, we had red sauce, mozzarella, egg, chorizo, black pudding, red onion, sweet corn, jalapenos, sun-dried tomatoes, gherkins, rum hock ham, or as we know it on this podcast, Otis ham, chocolate chili pulled pork, onion bhaji. And it was fucking delicious, might I add, to the end of it.
If you take the egg and the onion bhaji off that, it sounds fantastic to me, but I'm no having the egg or the onion bhaji.
Chocolate chili, get yourself in the bag.
Chocolate chili is absolutely incredible. That is almost everything that I've got, sweet and savoury. It's like chocolate and chili mixed in. I've got like fudge for a place in Alloa that's like chocolate chili, and also just chocolate chili or chocolate and chili is brilliant. Right, okay.
My sister swears by putting chocolate into her actual chilies as well.
I have to say I put a bit of dark chocolate in my chili. I have to admit that. But on a pizza, I'm not having it. Anyway, we're not going to talk about Alex's pizza in promo. We're going to do something slightly wrestling related this week that I want to cut a promo on. And this was pointed out when we went to the commentary table last night watching the Rumble. There's Corey Graves with a fucking turtleneck. Now, Gary, I'm looking at you. I can't work out if you're a turtleneck wearer, or have you worn a turtleneck in the past?
I never have. I've been tempted, but I don't know if it's a good or a bad idea. Over the past, you know, year and a half, I've put on a wee bit of timber. So I'm not sure if a turtleneck would be complementary to the to fixing the double chin problem, or if you just grow the beard out a wee bit more. But nah, I'm not really a turtleneck guy. I think they'd be really annoying. It's better, you know, you've got stubble, it's going to be itchy and all that. It's not nano for me. And I think they look a bit Bond villain-esque.
Yeah, have you ever, right now, because turtlenecks, right, I am not a fan of the turtleneck. I think you and I'm sorry if you're a turtleneck wearer out there. I apologise profusely. But you look like a bit of a dick in a turtleneck, don't you? And have you ever
I think people that wear turtlenecks definitely wear those, the trousers that are way too tight, which is fine because I wear very tight trousers.
Yeah.
But the very short ones with no socks and then those shoes that look like slippers.
Yeah,
it's the chains as well. Chains and turtlenecks seems to have become a bit of a thing.
Oh, aye, yeah. But The Rock.
The Rock, isn't it? Aye. The Rock on the infamous picture wore a turtleneck with the bum bag and the chain, didn't he? Right, okay, maybe I shouldn't maybe I should turn if I'm about to cut a promo on The Rock. But yeah, I don't think I've ever met anyone that wears a turtleneck and I've liked them. You know, when you're introduced with someone with a turtleneck, you go, oh, this guy's going to be a fucking prick. And end up talking about politics and shit. And like, you're just like, no, they generally drive a Jag or a BMW. What are you driving, good man? I drive a Jag.
Are you not just jealous that they actually drive the Jag or the BMW? Is that not what this really is, John?
They're just pricks. So listen, if you do wear a turtleneck and you're a good guy, apologies. But generally, anyone I've met with a turtleneck. And Corey Graves, I don't know if Corey Graves is a prick or not. He seems a little bit of a prick. Gary, you might have the inside scoop. Is Corey Graves a prick or not?
I have never spoken to him. I quite like the guy just by virtue of him being covered in tattoos and on TV. But I have heard from someone who will remain nameless who has interviewed him that he is not
a prick.
Not the politest person. They interviewed him and Carmella, said Carmella was lovely and Corey Graves just couldn't give a fuck.
Right.
So but it might have been a bad day. Everybody has a bad day.
Yeah, we do. But translate, not the politest person, so prick. So there we go. Theory proved. There we go. Up the road. Thank you very much. Yeah. Get in the bin, turtlenecks. Yes, it's time to look back at the weekly shows as we bury and put over stuff from them. Alex does AEW, I do NXT, Gary does Raw, and our guest Mark, the current title holder of the guest Mark title, Mr. Bronzecello, friend of the show, is going to do SmackDown. How you doing, Paul?
I'm doing great, guys. Yourself?
Excellent. We were just talking about the Rumble. You were a big fan of it as well. You were on the Patreon pay-per-view party.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. My only problem was, I think with the women's, I think the wrong woman won. I would have liked to have seen Rhea Ripley have it, because SmackDown's done a really good job of, you know, elevating Bianca. Bayley's done a great job with her, and even if they carried on the path with her, I don't think she needed the Rumble win to actually maybe even be in the WrestleMania title picture. So if Rhea had won it, they could have put her straight on Raw, maybe had her against Asuka and Charlotte. That's kind of my take on it. But yeah, really enjoyed both matches. So happy Christian came back. Big fan of him years ago. I was more of a Christian guy than Edge. So yeah.
Oh, really? And you were in the Thunderdome for it, Paul. What was the experience like? You've been in the a couple of times and you got in for what was the experience like in the Thunderdome for the Rumble?
I think they were having some audio problems. We didn't really hear microphones. Like, it's hard to explain. The music was quite muffled. And when Bad Bunny, which is probably a good thing, when he was performing, we didn't hear him singing. We literally heard the instrumental track. So, yeah.
You got to see Booker T standing there looking like a badass. That was by far the best part of that segment. Anyway,
Michael Cole saying Jai Bro was like the best thing ever. Because I'm going, if Booker T was near you and heard that, we would have an impromptu fist fight.
Yeah. on the go. But yeah, totally different experience. You know, I can say that virtually I've been to a Rumble. So yeah. And it didn't cost me nothing.
Well, there you go. Absolutely. So let's get into the shows as usual. I pre-fade this with the basically chat that we're going back in time. We've talked about the Rumble. We're going to talk about the go. Yeah, we should get that sound. We're going to the go home shows, and let's start off with Alex in AEW, because that had nothing to do with the Rumble anyway.
Exactly, and I'm going to do something crazy this week, and all of my footovers are going to be actual wrestling matches. What? So I'm going to get my nonsense out of the way first, right. And then we'll talk about wrestling in the wrestling podcast. So my first bury this week, John Moxley. Who the fuck drinks room temperature water? What's that all about, mate? Like, who's ever come in one day and be like, you know what I want right now? I just want a tepid glass of water that would really just hit the spot right now.
See all the shit that he done on WWE that they tried to do to make him look like a lunatic? They could have just said that one sentence and I'd have believed it.
Exactly. And like, does he live next to a building site? Because I can't imagine that's a safe place for him and Renee's future child to grow up next to. But he's there every fucking week. And speaking of nonsense, I also have to bury Sting, because the man is terrible at smashing windows with baseball bats. Like, I mean, come on, come on. Like,
that was like points. The retribution thing all over again, where they threw a brick through a window that was already smashed. It was like the exact same segment.
We see, I think Sting and Darby were perhaps in the warehouse that was behind John Moxley, and they went on some kind of like AEW day out to the warehouse to film all their promo material. So it was good though. I mean, I'm not sure how I feel about Sting referring to himself as a hooligan, but yeah, storyline. What can I say? On to the wrestling. First put over the night, Adam Page versus Ryan Nemeth. I was quite happy to see Dolph's wee brother in the ring. I thought he did a good job. He's ripped off enough of Dolph so that you know who he is, but he's also cut the hair, so he looks like that version of Dolph that Vince hated because he looked really generic. But it was a good match, and I think I'm hoping they do something with Adam Page and Matt Hardy. I think it'd be a good storyline for the two of them, and hopefully it ends up with like Page rejecting him and kind of carrying on with his kind of low-wolf persona, as I can kind of see that being his storyline for the foreseeable future, as people just trying to make friends with him and him just panning them off because he's still a hurt man. My second put over of the evening was Dax Harwood versus Jungle Boy. It was a great match, built really well. I mean, Dax probably loves his headlocks a little bit too much, but I think it helped build the match. The right man won. Jungle Boy got a huge win, and they even didn't oversell the corny bits with Luchasaurus and Cash and Tully all chained together. I thought it was quite good. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I love your use of the word corny there, because when I was watching the end, my first thought was, I wonder what Jim Cornette thinks of this.
I like the way they really worked it. Like, first of all, it was the two of them holding back Luchasaurus during all of like Dax's 18,000 headlocks, and then it quickly changed to like Luchasaurus holding the two of them back. So it was good. I liked the use of the gimmick. It was nice. And I kind of felt sorry for them, because the match of the night had to be the Dark Order versus the Bullet Club. It was just terrific, really, wasn't it? Like, it turned into the spot fest we all thought it would be, because I think I'm starting to think of like Silver and Reynolds are almost as spot fest as the Bucks, and I'm totally down for it. So they've even combined what Silver and Reynolds' little usual obstacle course, and then they put a little fatality on the end of it with Grace and Nuno, and then we got that huge quadruple Bullet Club super kick, and even had Kenny Omega running down to the ring with his one shoe towards the end of the night. So, terrific job, great main event, and it's helped build till next week. But before I finish, I need to do a quick turning Japanese running. Sorry, John, this is unscheduled, but okay. You just have to deal with it. So, put over number one, John Moxley has finally fucking turned up on New Japan Strong on Friday nights.
Aye.
And it's looking like, I believe originally under Moxley's contract, he was only allowed to work New Japan dates in Japan. But it looks like good cunt Tony Khan has once again been good cunt Tony Khan and is allowing Mox to wrestle at the dojo in the US. So great news there. I do have to kind of put a little of my heart and soul out to Mr. Shingo Takagi for our patron, Mr. Dow, who gets very upset when I never mention him. He unfortunately dropped his never open weight title to Hiroshi Tanahashi, but losing to Tanahashi in New Japan is like losing to Cena in WWE. It doesn't actually hurt you in any way. And Tanahashi's hitting that spot now. He's really dropping down to the mid-card, and he's starting to really make the stars. So I'm hoping that they actually get a nice wee program together and you start to see Shingo rise up the mid-card. And the final turning Japanese putter of the week, I promise, John, is that Jay White did not sign for WWE. He's back.
There you go.
I think that the Moxley thing, I think, is an interesting point, because I remember that being the thing, and I think it's the same with Jericho, where it was... you can wrestle in Japan for New Japan, but you can't wrestle anywhere in North America. But I think it's now at the point where Tony Khan probably knows if John Moxley turns up, it's going to be the headlines everywhere will be AEW's John Moxley turns up in New Japan. So I think it's just a win-win situation for everybody.
It's a smart business decision. Do you know what I mean? It's yep. way better to improve the relationship with New Japan and let Mox wrestle than it is to not. And it's, as you said, it's free publicity, isn't it? So yep. I understand why they didn't do it when he was the champion, but now he's no longer, it makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. Absolutely. Turning Japanese, we'll get that back very soon, won't we? What's the next big thing Japanese-wise, Alex?
There's still, I mean, they're kind of doing a bit of the New Beginnings tour at the moment. So there's a couple of shows going on over in Japan, kind of simultaneously with the States. So they kind of reset their year. They have still kind of yet to announce much, mainly because of COVID. Japan's still in quite a big lockdown and Olympics and all the rest of it. So it's still very up in the air.
Okay. Let's move on then to NXT, where we're in the middle of the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic, which is taking up a lot of television time. I'm thoroughly enjoying it, I have to say. I'm interested to see Thatcher and Ciampa go at it next week. But like Kushida and Ruff are teaming together. There was a lot of heel versus heel, face versus face stuff going on in NXT this week. Let's just get into the buddies. We'll do a buddy first because it's Dane and Maverick who took on MSK. MSK looked great again. But I just think the Dane and Maverick thing has been, you know, it's just been rushed. It's been rushed along too quickly. That whole should have been a build. It just seemed to be like, it just, you know, they went from being, you know, frenemies to like this tag team too quickly for me. There should have been more of that build of, Maverick being that annoying wee guy and Dane. But I mean, they got MSK went over them. But you just wanted to see them do more in the tournament and doing more as a tag team. So I just think they've rushed that whole thing because I thought it had great potential. And I hope they stick with it because it's brilliant and they're really working well as a team. And that whole using Drake Maverick as a weapon is brilliant, you know. So I just think they've rushed it a bit. I don't know how you guys feel on it, but
like it's the kind of storyline where, and I hope they keep going with it because I think there is somewhere to go, but it almost feels like it's run its course without actually going anywhere.
Yeah.
It's like it's run its course, but on a treadmill. So it's like, it's just no end anywhere. But I do love the, you know, my weekly mention of Serpentico. They're doing the thing that Luthor and Serpentico do where they're using them as a weapon, which is a proper old trope anyway in wrestling.
But
I absolutely love that, but I hope that loss doesn't really, I know they're not really a win loss oriented team, but I hope it doesn't really stick the brakes on the actual thing they were doing with them, because I think there is definitely something to do with them.
Otherwise
what else are they doing? That's the other thing as well, isn't it? It's not as if either of them, like Dane's always just been meandering around since Cross left and Sanity broke up, and Maverick's only just come back, really, hasn't he? So
yeah. Go to first put over the night, and I've just realised this, and it's WWE using an actual probably reference from the last couple of years, as opposed to the Vince McMahon references that he uses for comedy and what have you, which are dated back for about 10 years ago, where we've got that Harley Quinn Joker thing going on, and with the Fiend and Alexa Bliss and stuff. But I've just realised that the Scarlet and Karrion Kross, it's like the Red Witch gimmick from Game of Thrones. It's like she's like the Red Witch from.
So he's Stannis and she's Melisandre.
Yeah.
Is she going to give birth to some kind of weird Karrion Kross-esque shadow that's going to crawl into the ring and win him the belt?
But
and is he going to get murdered by his brother?
It does leave a kind of interesting prospect for me that if Karrion was to go up to the main roster or something like that, she would maybe switch allegiances or and she's like looking for the next kind of king kind of idea. And I think that's what they're doing with it, but I really like it. So she's obviously the mystical, you know, spooky thing going on, and he's just like the straight up hard man wrestler, and she's doing all the, you know, spooky stuff, you know. I've just realised that, and I really like that. So it's good.
Is she going to be part of your spooky club faction moving forward then?
We'll talk about the Spooky Club faction and Spooky Club a bit later on. We've got an update. If you didn't hear last week's episode of the show, go back and listen to Rab and Grado and Spooky Club. It's good banter. More on that later. But yeah, no, I'm really enjoying that stuff. And, you know, they put the, there was a whole thing of this card turned up in Santos Escobar. I don't know why they're putting... I can't see why they'd be putting Karrion Kross up against Santos Escobar. But... you know, it might work.
And cruiserweight like, Karrion Kross.
Yeah. maybe it's not Karrion Kross. Maybe it's someone else. But it was hinted that it was Karrion Kross. But anyway,
maybe be the first man to hold both the NXT and the cruiserweight championship.
potentially. But yeah, like where it's going. And talking about that as a whole, you know, the way they're booking NXT at the moment and the way the creative are putting the show together, I think is getting done really, really well. You know, segments make sense. For example, we had a segment about Imperium, which ran a promo ran for it, obviously, with the return of Alexander Wolfe, saying that they're dominating the world, you know, with what were on, you know, in NXT UK and the rest of them over in America. And it makes sense. You know, they're making things make sense, because last week I was on here talking about the loss of, you know, the fact that water wasn't there and what have you. But it just seems to be a really well-booked show, and not like, you know, we're going to talk about Raw, which I think there's been improvements on, but it just seems that this makes sense and this flows really, really well as a show. So hats off to the production and the creative on NXT. I think they're doing a really good job. It went through a bit of a sticky patch, but I think it's back on track, so... happy with that, and happy with a lot of things. I was going to do another buddy, but I would say, where's Pat? Come on, where's Pat? You know, we've got you know, Pete Dunne dropping off Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch like he's their da. You know, dropping them off at the cinema and giving them £10, going on you go, have a great time. I'll see you back here at 10 o'clock after your match. But I want to see Pat back. Bring back Pat. That's what I say. Match of the night. A lot of good stuff going on. I'm going to have to give it to the Burch Lorcan and Kyle Finn main event. The tag match there. I really enjoyed that. I see that stuff going further. Who I want to see? I want to see Grizzled Young Veterans up against Burch and Lorcan. Give me that match. I will pay good money to see that, because I think...
You're not just complaining about too many heel versus heel dynamics.
I know, but that would be just battering each other. It would be very, very good. So I want to see that. But yeah, that was NXT. And let's move on to SmackDown. It was a go-home show ahead of the Rumble.
So it was a really good show. The last segment ended up being three matches. And if you counted that one match as one match, there was only three matches on the show. There was a lot of segments. So we'll start at the beginning. Daniel Bryan's in the ring. He's cutting a great promo how he's going to win the Rumble. Could be his last chance to do it. Thanks to Alpha Academy for getting him into great shape. He's in shape for the Rumble. His hips are loose. His cardio's great. And the thing that really made this segment for me, someone behind him had a dog on their Thunderdome screen. So it was the Thunder Dog. And AJ Styles and Omos come out after that, and the dog's gone. So must have got booted. Very disappointing. But AJ comes out, he says he's out via the Brand Invitational, and he challenged Brian to a match later that night. Great stuff, no complaints. First buddy of the night, Big E trying to bribe Sonya Deville with a dollar to find out what his Royal Rumble number is. Absolutely shite again. So
at least it wasn't a pancake. Look at it that way.
Yeah. So I don't know if this is going to be a running joke. Every week somebody's going to try and bribe Sonya. We're going to see how it goes. But at this point, Miz and Morrison show up as well, and they tease that they're going to cash in. So yeah, that appearance from Miz and Morrison as well. My second buddy, unfortunately, is Corbin versus Dominic. Now, I've got no problems with Dominic, but having Corbin batter him every week and getting saved by Ray does not make him look good. Yeah. I'd like to see him on NXT or maybe 205 Live, having great matches, you know, with some of the younger talent. I think that there is a place for him on the roster, but they're not using him well.
I think Dominic, I think Dominic should be put down to NXT as well and just get the air miles and get used as a, you know, because like you say, Bronze, it's just he's, you know, getting battered because you can't feasibly put him up, you know, against someone like Corbin and put him over Corbin. You know, saying that he did a bit with Seth, right enough, but you know, I think
never really went over Seth, and I think Seth's a lot more of a ring general than Baron is by this stage.
Yeah. I would assume. Yeah, so no, I think do you think you, Gary, you should stay up on the main roster, or would you be up for him going back down to NXT?
I would rather see him on NXT, but again, I'm not quite sure. I think the logic behind it is that there's no many ridiculously polished guys that he would work with on NXT that aren't in big programs, whereas on the main roster, inverted quotes, there is. I think the Corbin stuff, I'm willing to try and give it a go because I think it got disbanded ever so slightly because Rhea and Dominic both tested positive for COVID in December. So there was a wee while where it wasn't a thing. But again, it's the same as on Raw, which I'm not even going to bury it. There's that storyline with Charlotte, Rick and Lacey, and it's just like 2 weeks yet is too long, and I feel like the Corbin Mysterio stuff has been like that for months now. And Buddy Murphy isn't even there anymore, which he was like the main part of it. So
I just think...
No idea.
Maybe went like home for a visit and has been trapped in Australia.
It might be something like that. But I just think Dominic, you know, he started off with like that match that shocked us all and was absolutely amazing. And I think he's had like good matches, and then just ended up locked in a storyline that's not really doing anything for him, and definitely not doing anything for Baron Corbin either.
No.
I always felt like they were going to have, they had some big ideas for Dominic, the way they debuted him, they had all the Mysterio family, and it just seems like it's kind of, they got him like halfway up the mountain, and then they just let him fall right back down the other side.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Sorry, Paul, a little aside there about Dominic Mysterio.
Last put over, I want to put over the final segment. Like I was saying, it gets a bit confusing because it turned into three matches and it was 32 minutes long plus advert time as well. So it was very long. So it started off as Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles. Cesaro's on commentary. Sami Zayn comes out with more signs being a wee dick again. Big E comes out. Nakamura comes out. It turns into a six-man tag. Miz and Morrison then show up. Otis shows up. And they say it's a 10-man tag, but there's only 9 people, which was just very confusing. Sheamus then showing up towards the end of the match. Everyone hit their finisher. Sheamus then got the win. And then Braun coming out and battered everybody. His SmackDown went off the air and declared that he was going to be in the Rumble. So it was a good segment, but it was very long and very confusing at the same time.
So yeah. I saw about that segment online, but I actually missed SmackDown. I was on like a video chat in Mario Kart, which is sometimes better than watching WWE. but did they explain why Raw superstars were there?
Mm-hmm. It was just because of the quarterly superstar.
That was interesting. How do you guys feel about the fact they kind of pulled Braun out in the last minute and kind of gave him away? Because that surely would have been one of the good big surprises we'd have got in a very limited surprise rumble.
I don't know how many people are going to pop for Braun Strowman.
Nah. Yeah, that's kind of the point. It's not really that big a surprise.
I like the guy, but...
yeah, exactly. Match tonight, Paul.
Definitely had to be Bayley versus Bianca. Bayley pulling on her ponytail and shouting ding dong was definitely a highlight of that match. And Bianca got the surprise win with the KOD for the win. Yeah, really good match.
Bianca's ponytail's been fucking abused this week, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Because when you have Naomi pulling herself back into the ring with it.
That was a great spot. Shout out to Bayley as well with the coal thing into the back of her, carved out the back of her hair, and he wasn't on commentary. I loved that.
Brilliant. Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Definitely match of the night.
Yeah. Right, okay. It is the big moment. We love it every week. Are we going to get a big sigh from Gary, or is Raw going to get post-Rumble the thumbs up?
Raw was good.
Oh!
Raw
was
good.
Wow!
At 20 past 3 last night, I looked at the clock and went, I've not looked at the clock like, no, looked at the clock in our way. Fuck, how long's left on this full time? So it was a good draw. It wasn't perfect by any means, but it was a lot better than it's been for the past couple of months at least. First put over, we've already mentioned him, Damian Priest. I always say it, you know, WWE has got all the resources in the planet to make somebody look like a big star on their debut. Sometimes they do it really well and sometimes they don't do it so well. Keith Lee is probably the prime example of the latter. Damian Priest, I know a lot of people weren't, you know, a lot of wrestling fans at least, weren't big on Bad Bunny being at the Royal Rumble and didn't like his performance. Me included, is not my kind of thing. But for me, knowing that the guy's like the most listened to artist on Spotify over 2020, knowing that he's mental, but knowing that he's...
Wrong, I didn't know who he was until Sunday night.
I didn't until a subtitled news that mentioned that Spotify fact is the only reason I know. But I know he's, you know, major artist. I think he's got like ridiculous views on YouTube. So I know why he was there. Big wrestling fan as well. Didn't he disgrace himself when he done his leap for the top rope? But anyway, he ended up on Raw. And they paired Damian Priest with this guy. So I'm going, first of all, that's, you know, that shows massive investment in somebody to put.
Yeah.
Somebody that's just came for NXT, they've put him in the thing that's going to make mainstream news, essentially. They've done that, had a Miz and Morrison segment with Bad Bunny in the ring, the Miz TV segment, and they introduced, or Bad Bunny introduced his new pal, Damian Priest. Damian Priest came out, and, you know, his entrance in NXT is good anyway, and I've moaned about how much I hate the Damian Priest name. Alex feels the same way, I know, about the preferring when he was Punishment Martinez. You know, I think I'm finally sold. I think it's fine. I think they've packaged them the right way just with this one, the Royal Rumble debut and then the debut on Raw. Following
still wearing
that,
the sexy white pants.
He was wearing his black leather gear.
Do you think you'll go back to the kind of playboy kind of Damian Priest that we saw in NXT?
I think they're gonna. I think they're gonna do with him what they were gonna try and do with Baron Corbin when he first went up. I think he's gonna be the guy that bridges the gap for WWE into like metal music and everything that surrounds that. I think they're gonna go with that kind of route. But I don't mind if they do the Playboy look. I think it was brilliant at it. But no, they had him come out and do the entrance. You know, where he turns to the screen, shoots his imaginary arrow as the Archer of Infamy does,
and had the flames never appear been explained on apart from the entrance.
He likes shooting an imaginary arrow, and that's it. But they done that, came out, faced him as, I wouldn't say a decisive win, but like he won against a former WWE champion on his debut. Brilliant, absolutely amazing. You're like, right, he's been put over as much as he possibly can. And then he appears later in the show as well, gets a third appearance in a third different segment. While Edge is walking to the ring, they do the, I want to say, Cena Undertaker for
2002.
Yeah. I was like trying to remember back to SmackDown. I'm going, definitely 2000 and something. But they've done the same thing where Edge essentially shakes his hand, says, good performance, pretty much, straps a rocket to him and lets everybody know, watch this guy because he's brilliant. So, absolutely amazing. I can't remember the last time that in the space of, fair enough, across three segments of a show, but in the space of about 20 minutes, they made this guy essentially a nobody, which, because we've seen him at the Rumble, people that don't watch NXT are going to go, who's that? To the casual fans, he is now the biggest star in WWE because he was with Bad Bunny, he's beat a former champion, and a Hall of Famer's endorsed him. So they've just done everything right with him. Absolutely love it. Can't wait to see what Damian Priest is going to do next. Biddy's, it's bad to say, it's actually a tough week to bury much. There wasn't much that was that bad that it would have been a bury last week. So I'm not even really sure what I've not got any buries written down, but I feel like the show wasn't that good that I can't bury anything. So my bury is actually going to be the fact that Rhea Ripley didn't appear, because I think they could do with her a lot more on Raw than they could on SmackDown. No saying she's going to go to SmackDown, of course. She might be in NXT for another couple of weeks and then go to Raw. But the elimination of Alexa Bliss made me think, right, they're going to stick her straight on Raw and we're going to be, you know, strapping her and sending her to the moon the same way they did with Damian Priest. But didn't they do that? So, you know, I feel like it was a wee bit of a missed opportunity. Hope she doesn't go to SmackDown because we've got Sasha, Bayley, Bianca, You know, Carmella is obviously a main event all there now as well. And then you've got like Riot Squad and all that as well, Natalya. So I feel like putting all there's a bit of a mistake. They could do with a lot more on Raw. That's a bit of a bury. And I guess I'll also bury the fact they've kept going with the Lacey and Charlotte and Ric Flair stuff, because it's just a bit boring.
Yeah. I did have one along. That Rick got confused which one his daughter was, and then it makes it a funny storyline.
Well, I kind of prefer that to my thinking is actually that they're trying to combat people saying that Charlotte is there through nepotism and trying to do a storyline that is the opposite of that.
Why are you doing that like 4 years after she's fucking debuted?
So I think it might be that, but I'm not, obviously that's just a bit of a theory. But my only other bury I had written down was two words, and it's Jackson Riker.
Well, there you go.
Don't need him. I feel sorry for Elias being trapped in that storyline. But in saying that, we had in 2021 a match that saw Jeff Hardy and Carlito tag teaming. So yes. my second put over is just seeing Jeff Hardy and Carlito together. Absolutely amazing.
We didn't talk about Carlito, actually. No. We were talking about the Rumble. How jacked does Carlito look? He looks better than he did when he was first wrestling.
Well, I don't know if you've seen the story recently where Jim Ross spoke about how he believes Carlito didn't reach his full potential. And he said that Carlito would have been a Hall of Famer when it came to being with the ladies. So I'm wondering if it's the opposite of that and he looks so jacked because he's celibate, or if it's the opposite and he's not just pumping iron. the guy looks like he has just went absolutely crazy on the weight. He's ended up like jacked as anything. Obviously he's accentuated, you know, we know he's got that, you know, the amazing hairstyle, the trademark, but accentuated that. His hair looks even longer. He's got the wee goatee. They gave him the AK entrance at the Rumble, teamed him with Jeff Hardy on Raw, which is just absolutely brilliant. It made me think, I really hope this, the rumour is that he was back for a producer tryout, but that's the same story as MVP last year, had his last match. No look at MVP. I'm hoping we get the same with Carlito. I'd love to see him back. Only annoyance is he's a face, because that guy is a heel is absolutely incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Maybe I just thinking Legado del Fantasma doing something with, you know, there's a lot of potential there with Carlito. I hope he stays around because I love the Carlito character. You know, he is a heel. Come on, he's a heel. That's how he vibes.
So, can he spit apple in people's faces now, though, because of COVID? So.
Exactly. Match of the night, Gary, sorry.
Match of the night. I think no matter what happened on Raw, this was always going to be match of the night, because I thought it was going to be another, you know, Triple H v Orton or a Paul Heyman v Adam Pearce, and it wasn't going to happen. And I was counting down the minutes when we got to the end of Raw. They announced during the show, which is always the one, that Edge would face Randy Orton in the main event. When you announce something during the show that's that big, I'm like, well, if you've not announced it beforehand, it's not to get viewers, so it's for a big swerve. We got the match. Edge competed on Raw for the first time in singles action in over 10 years. Last match was the 31st of January 2011 against The Miz. And then he done a tag match 2 months later, but it was against Del Rio and Brodus Clay, so obviously it doesn't count. But we had Edge versus Randy Orton, which again, gave my new opponent as preferable, but the fact we had that match was brilliant. I know a lot of people are not going to like it, and I refrained from putting it in my put-overs because of that. But the Alexa Bliss stuff, again, I thought was brilliant during the day. They had pretty balanced match, pretty brutal match as well. Like, was a proper match. Edge wasn't being protected in any way more than any other wrestler would be. Randy Orton starts to get the upper hand. Randy Orton does the DDT for the, you know, the vintage Orton DDT for the apron, for the second rope. And then has Edge set up, goes to the corner, does his thing where he goes to his knees, slaps a mat, gets ready for the RKO. I don't know why, but Rockabye Baby was the lullaby they started playing for this. And then Alexa Bliss, who had interacted with Orton on the way to the ring, is sitting on the top turnbuckle. Many put over here because I don't think a lot of people that don't watch horror movies would get it, but she started bleeding black blood from her mouth on the apron to distract Orton. The full thing in horror movies for that is normally that signifies that somebody is possessed, which would lead into the storyline they've been doing where with the Fiend possessing her and all that kind of stuff. So I like that. But then we had Edge spearing Randy Orton, pinning him 1, 2, 3. Edge winning a singles match in the main event of Raw. Maybe Raw was so good last night because they've just took us back 10 years ago. But that, for me, was always going to be match of the night because Edge, wrestled and won.
And surely that's the end of Edge versus Orton for now.
It's a whole 10 months. I think that was, they kind of built that with a couple of promos beforehand that it was looking towards being the end, but I feel like we've had that a few times now.
I think we all know what the main event of WrestleMania is going to be. Randy takes the title off Drew in the Chamber, boys.
Well, they might need to get to Randy Orton's 16th title run to get tied with Cena and Flair now, so you never know. No, I don't. After last night's Raw, it's filled me with that much confidence. I'm going to say, that's us. We've ended that storyline. Edge is going to go into something. Everything's going to be good for now. And let's all tune into Raw next week. It's going to be a good show. And I'm positive. I'm optimistic.
This is great. It's the first time in months we've had a positive review of Raw. Fantastic. Paul, thanks for coming on as ever, doing SmackDown. Remember, if you want to take Paul on for the title and come on, he's open to challenges. You know, you can cut a promo on all these other marks out there if you want, Paul.
Get yourselves on. SmackDown's not that bad.
Yeah, the Raw apparently up until this week.
It's not a punishment, folks.
It used to be, but well, thanks for coming on. We'll hope we see you again next week. Remember, you can get advice and put overs for Rab and Grado on the main show. Do that on our Twitter, Wrestling Daft, on Insta, Wrestling Daft Podcast, or simply Wrestling Daft on the Facebook. Okie dokie. If you want more content from Wrestling Daft, it's very easy to get that. It's so easy. You just go onto the interweb, you type in patreon.com/WrestlingDaft. That's patreon, patreon.com/WrestlingDaft, all one word. On there, you will find a variety of different tiers, not the bad tiers that we're used to in lockdown, the good tiers, which give you extra content from us. Tier 1, Cruiserweight Champion, $4 a month, ad-free versions of the episodes, LA episode access, Patreon-only chat community, bonus content, full video version of this podcast, vote on the list of Wrestling Daft, and vote on Fantasy Booking Island. You can do that all just for $4 a month. Tier 2, the IC Champion, about £7. Everything from Tier 1, plus a video version of the show with Rab and Grado, so you can see all the mischief they get up to when they record. You also get invited
to mischief, the word when it comes to Grado. You made it sound so innocent.
Yes, yeah, he's always innocent. You get invited to our Patreon pay-per-view parties as well. Like we were discussing earlier on, I was going to do WrestleMania Saturday night for the big one, but we might do AEW or Elimination Chamber in between.
AEW has been moved to a Sunday, do you remember?
Oh, we might not do that.
It's been moved to Sunday the 7th of March because we didn't want to go up against certain UFC sports, and I think, and change the venues and COVID and all the rest of it. It's a shame.
We might do that. But you get a bonus episode once a month. It's a bit back in time. We did do one there at the weekend. Rab and Grado did a Royal Rumble preview. Worth listening to, because Grado talks about how they book a Rumble match, Rumble matches he's been involved in. Get on, listen to that. We'll be doing a Dafties at some point as well in the next week or so, when we look back at our favourite bits of January. We'll maybe get a couple of beers and do that this weekend at some point. So we'll get that up, and you can hear that. That'll be February's bonus episode. Tier 3, World Heavyweight Champion, $20 a month. Everything in the previous tiers. Plus, you get free Wrestling Daft t-shirt design of your choice. Chance to come on, or the first chance to come on this show as a mark, or on the run-in. Talking about t-shirt designs, big shout out to friend of the show, wrestling figure designer extraordinaire, Kyle Customs, has done it. We were Rab and Grado were talking about Spooky Club on last week's episode, which Grado basically went to like a medium club, which he called the Spooky Club in Stevenson. We talked about how he went down to Irvine and pretended to be a medium himself. And we have got a design based on the Bullet Club t-shirt with Spooky Club on it. It is incredible. We're going to put that up, shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. That's our merch stop, where we'll get all our merch. And we'll see how long that lasts before we get a cease and desist from New Japan, who are all over this kind of stuff. So we'll wait and see how we get on. So you'll get that. Plus, you can pick it up as a t-shirt if you sign up, and you're on in there for 3 months as a World Heavyweight Champion. So that is all the Patreon chat. Get on board. We'd love to welcome you to our roster. It's a great wee community we've got up there. We all know each other. We all chat to each other. You can do that at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. It's the Wrestling News with Gary Cassidy. That was your Royal Rumble buzzer there. Royal Rumble, we're just fresh off the back, and there's obviously stories that come with that as we go on the road to WrestleMania and point at that sign several times. Gary, what's the fallout from the Rumble, man?
Actually, I've just got a press release there that's came from WWE that Drew McIntyre's releasing his first book. A book about Drew McIntyre's life is coming out on April 22nd.
Oh my God. If there is not a chapter about Grado, I will be so disappointed.
It's about his full life. Apparently, if he tells the incredible life story and his journey from a small village in Ayrshire, Scotland, to the global spotlight at WWE, pretty much just says it goes through his full life and career. And will be released on April 22nd. So, there you go. Covers a belter. It's just a photo of Drew with championship, and it's Drew McIntyre, my story, a chosen destiny, Britain's first WWE champion. So,
chapter 18, Drew versus Grado. Come on.
So, looking forward to that. But that's literally just came through there. But, you know, well, he's kind of Royal Rumble news because he beat Goldberg. That might have a wee end part in the book, depending on how late it goes to. But obviously, a load of returns, as we've already spoken about. With that, you know, we did mention MVP. It always comes out that, will they be back for one more if they're cleared to be in a Rumble? Would they be back for anything else other than that? And obviously, Christian is the big news.
Yeah.
He apparently was only cleared to return a week before the Royal Rumble, which is, PW Insider, always pretty on the ball with stuff like that. Mike Johnson saying that, apparently cleared a week before the Royal Rumble for in-ring action. He looked pretty good. Didn't he look like he was showing any effects to me? So, interestingly, they've reported that he might have signed a part-time deal going forward. They don't mention anything about matches or anything like that, but Christian did do the, WWE exclusive interview, the thing they do on social media, and they tweeted out as well afterwards saying, all he wanted was to go on his own terms, similar to Edge, when we've seen where that has gone. And he said, if that was it, at least he's, went out on his own terms, but if it's not, and then had a wee ellipsis there. So you never know.
They're maybe just moving Randy Orton onto Christian instead of Edge.
No, my hope is that we'll get, I mentioned this on Twitter yesterday, but my hope is we get Edge targeting Roman Reigns, and then we get either Edge and Christian versus Reigns and Jey Uso, or Edge and Christian v the Usos, because that would be absolutely incredible.
I think they need to do some with the tag division. We've talked about it so long. Putting Edge and Christian in as a kind of, back and put the straps on them, man. Do you know what I mean? Get all the young ones chasing them.
Don't give all the belts to Edge at once. Right?
give them all the belts.
The man needs like a month off after his Rumble Iron Man Johnson.
Such a march.
He's wrestled an hour and a half in the last 2 days. That's more exercise than I've done in this fucking year.
That was the thing I didn't even mention with the Raw main event. He was in the opening segment of Raw, and he looked like he was limping to the ring. He looked like he'd been through a war and then went another half an hour with Randy Orton.
Someone on the pay-per-view party pointed out that every time he does a move, he like holds his right bicep, and we're all like, oh no, don't get hurt again, Edge, don't get hurt again.
He's just, he's selling it the same way Daniel Bryan does and Sasha Banks every time they get a big bump. But so you never know, might get Christian back. And then Carlito, as we mentioned, was apparently on a tryout for a producer role, wrestled a match, might get him back. So here's hoping, because I think they both looked absolutely brilliant. So hopefully we get two of them back. If no, then maybe one of them.
Yep, absolutely. And Cesaro, rumours are that his contract runs out really soon.
Aye, so, might have someone going in the opposite direction out of the company that I wouldn't want to see leaving. But, Cesaro is somebody we know will be a success no matter where he goes. Interesting one, because they've not done a great deal with him up until about the past couple of months in terms of, actually pushing him as a singles competitor. And now he's been looking incredible in the lead up to the Royal Rumble. He looked like it was starting to become one of the favourites for the Rumble match, just by, you know, pinning several WWE or former WWE champions, Daniel Bryan, Dolph Ziggler. But Raj Geary, Wrestling Inc., reporting that Cesaro's contract ends right after WrestleMania. It's no something that's really unusual in any way, that somebody's contract would end, you know, right after WrestleMania, because we've seen that several times. The main one that you go back to is Jon Moxley. And the reason I would mention that in particular is because what we learned for Jon Moxley's contract ending is that there is no compete. So they can go anywhere immediately after if they don't re-sign the contract. We also seen WWE with that. Again, around this time of year, the news came out and they actually put it out first and said he's chosen not to re-sign. Obviously, had the horrendous storylines. WWE haven't said anything official on this one yet, worth noting. And there's no news as to, you know, how the contract discussions could go if he's been offered a new one. If he's going to be intending to re-sign a new one, you'd have to think they would offer him one. But, you know, whether they would be re-signing one. But it's the kind of thing where you look at the past year and how many people that Cesaro is undoubtedly friends with that have ended up in AEW, ended up in Impact and all that kind of thing. So, want to keep an eye on. Obviously, know that the news is out there that his contract's ending. If wrestling companies didn't know, which you'd assume they would, because it's their business to find out these things that they might be hovering about. And also worth noting that now all the speculation is going to be running wild. So I expect we'll be talking about that for many more weeks and months up until Royal Rumble, or WrestleMania, and see if Cesaro does indeed stay or if he goes.
What would you do if you were Cesaro and AEW come and offer you a better contract?
It's a really interesting one, because I think it depends what the wrestler wants. He's kind of made it no secret on interviews and podcasts in the past that he feels like he's more charismatic, and I agree with him than he gets credit for. And I think on the microphone the past few weeks, he's got the chance to prove that.
Yeah.
But I think it depends. If he truly has aspirations of winning a world title, he might need to think, is that possible in WWE, or, you know, would I need to go elsewhere? But at the same time, you also maybe look elsewhere and go, would I get that elsewhere?
Well, because that's what I was going to say.
Send him to Impact.
You definitely would get a title there.
Yeah, you definitely get a title Impact, that's for sure. But if he's looking across the pond at AEW, that main event picture at the moment is pretty stacked, and there's a lot of people standing in front of him. You mentioned Miro, you've got Lance Archer there, you've got, you know, I guess Darby Allin's got to be mentioned in that, Hangman Page. Yep. You know, there is
and then
a lot.
You even look at Jericho and Matt Hardy and all the guys that were above him in WWE when he was.
This is only the beginning of the Omega title reign as well, and they've obviously got booking for this Omega title reign the way they started with Callis. So,
I think the best thing that you can say is, and this obviously goes back, you know, the way it was many years ago. But the best thing you can say about him now is if his contract is going to end in 2 months, he has a lot of leverage that if he's going to, you know, play the game and wait and grind it out all the way until it's near that end. You know, it could easily debut somewhere right after WrestleMania. It could play the game, have WWE, you know, on tent or hooks, and then it's up to him if he decides to take a deal or if he goes elsewhere. So I'm really looking forward to it. If anything, it's the kind of thing that makes it a lot more exciting to watch Cesaro going forward, because we're all going to be wondering what he's doing.
Absolutely. Well, as a wise man once said, it's all about the game and how you play it. Thanks very much for the news as ever, Gary. The sun is shining, the weather is sweet. Yeah, it makes you want to move those dancing feet. I've used that intro before while we're talking about Salt lyrics. We're back on Fantasy Booking Island. Last week we were set the booking Conor McGregor, who obviously just lost in the UFC, and the rumours that, well, we thought he might turn up at the Rumble. In fact, no one thought he was turning up.
No, we didn't.
But obviously the whispers, as usual, are in the wind that he is heading to Stanford and heading to the WWE. I'll believe it when I see it, but you never know, stranger things have happened. So we were asked to book McGregor's first 6 months in the WWE. Gary, you won the last booking, which was Grado with the 24. No, it was last booking, where it was all the gimmicks just thrown into one, wasn't it? Was it the Grado 24 title?
Aye, it was the it was a Grado one. Aye,
it was the Grado 24/7 title. So what would you like to do? Would you like to go first, or would you like to nominate myself or Alex?
I'm gonna take the L and I'm gonna go first, because I know that I'm just gonna be horrendous at this, so I'll go first.
Well, the rules are simple. You've got 2 minutes on the clock to book Conor McGregor in WWE, and your time starts now.
I was going to be a complete dick and either put him in the 205 Live in the Cruiserweight division or have him job out to R-Truth for the 24/7 title, but I've decided against that.
Oh, you would have won with that.
I was also very tempted to have Sheamus as his manager, because I just think that'd be money, but I know that Sheamus has kind of called him out. John looks like I've gave the game away there. So what I'm actually going to go with is that we're going to have Matt Riddle adopt the Fight Pit match as his new thing. He ends up beating Bobby Lashley in it, and then ends up relinquishing the United States Championship, because he goes, I'm not here for titles, I'm here for the pay packet. And the money that I get for doing Fight Pit matches, much like in UFC, is much more than I would ever earn in wrestling matches. So I'm just going to do Fight Pit matches, adopts the Ken Shamrock gimmick, runs through absolutely everybody in Fight Pit matches, much like we had the Lions then. So we end up having that going for a wee while, and he's beating all the wrestlers that you'd expect him to beat. You know, we've just brought Raw Underground out to the front, pretty much, so that the fans that are back in can see it. We have him run through absolutely everybody. He ends up taking down, you know, Arturo Ruiz and all the people that have, you know, crossed over for UFC, but weren't they quite big names. And then we get Matt Riddle taking on Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. And Matt Riddle gets injured. And the person that you bring back is Conor McGregor. Just so you can get Conor McGregor versus Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania in an octagon, just so that WWE can cash in on that UFC coin. So that is literally all I went with. I'm not even going to build up to anything bigger than it is. I'm just saying Brock Lesnar, Conor McGregor in an octagon at WrestleMania.
Book it. Book it. Right, who's going next then, me or Alex?
I'll do it, since we've already given your game away, John.
John's game away, so let him have some time to adapt and go with Alex.
We're going to start by putting Sheamus as Conor McGregor's manager. I don't actually want to put Conor McGregor in WWE, so I'm going to do something completely different. So, I want Dana White and Conor McGregor to call out Vince McMahon on some kind of Fox show and call wrestling fake. So, Vince McMahon turns up with his boy, Big Brock Lesnar, to confront Dana and Conor. But it's not just him, because, you know, wrestling's bigger than WWE. So out of nowhere appears Tony Khan with Jake Hager. And of course, Don Callis turns up with the man, the myth, the legend that is Ken Shamrock. And it can all lead to an actual, real, legitimate fight. We'll make a hell in an octagon, so we'll build an octagon bigger, we'll put a cage on top of it, we'll do it on a boat, we'll rip off the John Oliver pay-per-view title of UFC, $1 million, Bork versus Connor versus Hager versus Shamrock, legit fight. I think that'd be way better. Done. I don't care who wins. I just want to see it.
Alex, you've had 2 weeks to think about this booking. That is not your typical booking. You usually come with a notepad and pen, writing it out, reciting it. You've done that in 50 seconds.
Well, I may have gotten slightly drunker than I intended last night, and as such, my brain has been below par during my work day, and as such, I just...
You've had 2 weeks, Alex McRoberts, 2 weeks. You complained about this for so long, and moaned and bitched about it, and now you've had 2 weeks to make the booking, and you got too drunk last night. You go and stand in the corner.
I'm sorry, John. It won't happen again.
Right, okay. Right, someone start the timer on me. Here we go. Right, you'll never guess what's going to happen here. So, Conor McGregor comes into the city. There's a whole thing I'm signing with all the, you know, the papers at the WWE. That it's dealt with like a big sign for a boxing match, you know, like they do at the UFC. Big press conference with the people asking them questions and stuff like that. But he can't wrestle, really. You know, he needs to learn the way. So who comes there? Our good Irish friend, Sheamus. So Sheamus takes him under his wing. We cut to, you know, in big build-up packages, we cut to Sheamus training McGregor up. then McGregor just starts in that way that Lesnar did. He just, or a go, almost like a Goldberg, going through people, you know, starting off at the, you know, the kind of lower end, building his way up. You know, we're going through guys, we're building up. You know, we hit that Riddle match at some point. In the meantime, in the background, Sheamus is turned full heel and got the world title. We have this whole buddy kind of, you know, Mickey Rocky relationship, but you kind of, McGregor's more of a face in this one as opposed to Sheamus just turning heel. This eventually comes, well, McGregor's went through the titles, he's picked up the US title, he's the big man, he's starting to get a bit more heel as well. Then we come to a heel versus heel match. It builds up to WrestleMania with Conor McGregor fighting Sheamus at WrestleMania after he turns on Sheamus, and we get some wonderful heel promos from McGregor, basically defunct in wrestling, all that sort of stuff. And that is my booking as well, which is a bit of shit as well, but there we go.
Yeah, it's a little bit of pot calling kettle black there, John, is all I'm going to say.
I had it in my head, but I kept looking at my watch and the time was just going.
I think we've all got past the stage that we've stopped timing them, really, to be fair. So.
No, I was timing that because I was really hoping that John, despite us both giving away his booking, was going to overrun and disqualify himself. But didn't
he? I started to feel a bit bad because that happened like 3 weeks in a row, so I've just kind of stopped timing to let him off. Like,
oh, right.
You, stop him.
So, yeah, there you go. There's Fantasy Booking Island. I kind of back of the fag packet Fantasy Booking Island from all three of us this week. We have.
I think this is John's fault for organising a pay-per-view Patreon party on a Monday night, so
that's potentially it's my fault. So Gary,
I think blame whoever it was that created it, because I don't give a shite about Conor McGregor. That's my main excuse.
Gary, what is your booking in a sentence?
Conor McGregor versus Brock Lesnar in an octagon at WrestleMania.
Alex,
Ork versus McGregor versus Shamrock versus Hager.
And I'm going for the old Sheamus manager turning for all Irish feud at WrestleMania with both titles in the line as US title goes against heavyweight title. And by the way, McGregor's going over in that one as well, and is going to be an arsehole after that. So, yep, that is my booking.
Oh, wait, after that, he's going to be an arsehole.
Well, yeah. So, yeah, you can vote on that. Get on our Patreon, patreon.com/wrestlingdad. And we'll be looking for your suggestions for a booking as we announce the results and the next booking next week. Not that it matters, because Alex has had 2 weeks and he's not even bothered his arse. So that's it for this week's Wrestling Daft the Marks. Thank you very much for listening. We do really do appreciate it. And if you do appreciate the show, please hop on to Apple, give us a wee rate, review, subscribe. You know, give us 5 stars. That'd be really nice, wouldn't it? So you can get that, and you get us every Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever you get your podcast, depending on how quickly I can turn around the edit. Rab and Grado are back on Friday with the headline show, all the usual stuff, list of wrestling daft. This week, let me just check the Patreon poll, very exciting. It was between your favourite colour commentator or your favourite commentator as a whole, and we're going to be ranking them. What do you think would win that one, guys?
Well, I would go for Taz, but I think people are going to go for Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan. I think that's always going to be the way. But I would go for Taz because I'm a pure mark for Taz.
Yeah, so it was best colour commentator that actually won the vote. Who's your favourite colour commentator of all time, Alex?
Can I be really crazy and say the Pope D'Angelo De Niro? No, I'm joking. That was just a wild one out there because he used to say silly things on commentary. I quite like Excalibur. I think Excalibur's
oh, really... Wow, really?
Yeah, and I think he needs more up. I think he needs more respect.
Alex is only saying this to get the kudos of that person that says we're always burying AEW. Trying to get plus points.
Yeah, I've got to go Jesse the Body. Like, I can't look beyond Jesse the Body.
Oh no, wait a second. Does Booker T count because of how many ridiculous nonsense that he used to say all the time? And that
you can't have Booker T. Jesus Christ.
Right. I'm going to wait on someone saying Mike Adamly, even though that can't be said because it was obviously concussion that made him not.
How many votes do you think JBL's going to get? Could we have the most racist commentator? And then he might win.
So yeah, that is the list of Wrestling Daft this week. We'll have your Wrestling Daft road stories again, my favourite feature. And the pun-in is only going to run as a pay-per-view now. It'll be on once a month, but this week it is on, and the puns are religious based, and we're going to be we're going to be walking a tightrope with this one, I think. I offer you up Damien Priest, which writes himself.
I was going to say, Damien Priest is there already, that's it.
But I'm looking at some of the listeners. They have not disappointed. I'll give you one here, a couple from Toby Michaels has went for Prado. Gives like a prayer on our level of meaning. There we go.
Can we get the former Cruiserweight Classic competitor, Ho Ho Nun?
Yep. All of that, that's what we're looking at, punning for the religion. So thank you for that. Get on Twitter, get involved in that. And remember, if you're not signed up to our Patreon, I've mentioned it all the time, but get on board, patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. Helps pay for the show, and we do appreciate that. Boys, anything you want to plug, Gary? We're going to have the Bushwhackers. When can we put that interview out?
That'll be probably next week, I guess.
Yes, the Bushwhackers are on the show.
I have not actually listened back to it or started doing it and wait because I've been a wee bit busy the past day, but that'll be fine for next week. So Bushwhackers will be on the show. So you'll just hear me chuckling along because I always forget to mute my microphone when I'm listening to the answers to my
that's
questions.
What adds to it. I love that.
So, Bushwhackers.
Brilliant. The Bushwhackers on the show next week. Really looking forward to hearing that. Alex,
we should just put over the Oceania presence in wrestling. We had loads of Australian women in the Rumble, we had a Kiwi, and now we've even got an Australian, Kiwis interview on the podcast.
So there we go. Thank you very much for listening. Get Gary at Wrestling Gary, get Alex on Team 3DRS, get me at Producer John. I don't tweet much like Alex does, but get on Gary, because Gary will give you all the wrestling stuff that you need. He's all.
Gary tweets enough for all three of us.
Exactly.
But then you'll see the shite that I recycle for this show, so don't do that.
Definitely don't do that. Thank you very much for listening to Wrestling Daft the Marks. Until next time, keep marking out. Audio Frontier.